Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Night of the Fan. JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar. Been a minute since I got to speak with our last guest. Keep booking them when I'm off the show. All my vacation days. I'm hoping to take more vacation days from the Blue Jays if they continue to play this way. But always great to catch up with Tim Leeper, former Blue Jays first base coach. Morning, buddy. How we doing?
Morning, JD. Morning, Ailish. How you guys doing?
You think I was ducking you or what?
I know you've been on vacation a while.
Yeah, no, I know. I've been trying to, again, this is the season, right? It's supposed to be quiet season, and now all of a sudden it's loud. It's funny, too, because this is the way that I've been doing this a while. You always try to schedule it out is post-MLB deadline. There's a bit of a dry period. And it was supposed to be this way with this team, right? Hey, you're not chasing the Yankees for the top of the division, but you're securely in a wild card spot. It's almost the most boring thing you can be, is just a team that already knows its destiny. Fast forward a couple weeks later, and we have this, where you can enter a series with the Baltimore Orioles, where you just played the Cleveland Guardians, two teams that we thought were in a rebuild this year, and all of a sudden, we could be talking Wednesday, and the Jays are on the outside looking in of a playoff picture. What the hell is happening here?
It's baseball. I mean, after the break when they went 9-1, or after the manager change, they went 9-1. Things were looking good, and you could even envision it. I thought, you know, maybe the Yankees get cold, maybe post break they don't play as well. But yeah, this is not exactly where you want to be, because they've kind of like settled in back to where they were before. But isn't that the great thing about baseball? Because you never really know what's going to happen.
It feels like a curse, because for so long I remember people saying, all I want is meaningful baseball in the fall. And every time you do, it's like, well, this is what you wanted. Stress for a month. Stress for a month. This is what everybody was clamoring for, and now you've got it. It's here. It's delivered. Okay, so let's start with this, because I think that there are a lot of issues with this team right now, and so we're discussing basically all of them, right, ad nauseum. And it's going to be a theme moving forward, just about everybody. What is the thing that right now you think is actually, an appropriate concern? Like, for you, that you look at and you go, yeah, this is not very good. I'm not thrilled about this.
I think there's two things for me that are kind of big. I think everything starts with starting pitching. And I think there's a lot of unanswered questions in the starting pitching outside Gosman and Manoa, like, where you're going to get pretty solid. They've just proven to have very solid outings every single time, keep you in the game, get you deep in the game, lessen the burden on your bullpen. And then, like, right now you're kind of searching for that third guy. And when you're a good team, you're maybe searching for that fourth. I mean, when you're really healthy, you're searching for that maybe that fourth guy, maybe that fifth guy. You know, here you're kind of searching for the third. You kind of hope Berrios is it. Stripling's been hurt. I know Mitch White's come in. Like, you just don't really know what you have there. So I think that's a big one. And I think just generally the and this is a baseball thing, and I see this a lot every day traveling in what I do. You know, it's the offensive approach, and being a team who actually is really talented offensively, but it's kind of stuck in chasing big things, trying to find the way back to chasing small things to open up more big things. And I think that those are the two areas for me that are the most concerning, moving forward, because you want a team that's going to be hitting on all cylinders. And I think, again, most of it starts with your starting pitching, but you got to be able to score runs too. And you got to be able to score runs against pitchers that are going to be able to locate in the zone and do some things to you. And they're not able to beat those guys right now.
Yeah, the offense is the thing that I wanted to talk to you most about today, Tim, because, again, on paper, you look at the entire season, you go, this is a really good offense, right? Top five in baseball. There's so much talent there. Obviously, losing Springer hurts them. The Springer numbers are crazy now. It's actually – and I guess it – it should be you miss this guy when he's out of the lineup, but there's something like 20 games over 500 when he's in the, when he's playing, and now they're basically 500 over the course of 100 games without George Springer. But what is it about the approach at the plate that's bothering you? Because, yeah, I look at this team sometimes, and it just doesn't feel like they're able to make adjustments. It doesn't feel like when the chips are down that they'll always have their best at-bats. And for a team right now that's just searching for one, needing one, you watch Vladdy last night, it kind of felt like that was a bit of a prime example of where they're at sometimes in some of these games where they need their best players to come through, and they end up giving them kind of just really tough at-bats.
Yeah, and I mean, their lineup's deep. Again, but again, it comes to approach. And I there was something the other night when I think it was the game on Friday night, and Schneid said this after the game. It was against Cal Quantrill. And he said, after the first time around, we should have shifted. We should have, I think his exact line was, we could have shifted his approach more in the middle innings of the hitters. And so what I saw from the hitters were guys that were trying to, like, and again, the key word in baseball right now is, hey, let's do damage. Make sure you do damage. But, like, damage is hard to do. And you do damage, like, you're talking about doubles and home runs and hitting the balls in the gaps. When you're thinking about doing damage, most of the time it's, you're thinking to pull the ball and you're going to the pull side for home runs or whatever. And I thought Cal really manipulated or exploited the inside part of the plate on guys with really big swings trying to pull the ball. And then, like Schneid said, you know, we should have shifted our approach in the middle of the innings. And I think for me, and just in just experience and the things that I've watched, that when you have a team that comes out early and tries to get those little hits, those, you know, the two strike hit, or, you know, even if you have a 3-1 pitch, taking that responsible hit to the opposite field and then opening up the, you know, then the pitcher knows he can't go out there, which in turn he'll start to throw the ball inside more. That's when you do your damage. I mean, we had some good offensive clubs, obviously, in 14 and 15, especially. And even though we hit a lot of home runs, we're known for that. The one thing that always really got us going was that little opposite field hit, just getting a couple guys on base, putting some traffic out there. And then the pitchers realized they couldn't just go to the outside part of the plate to try to get an out. And that's when we started hitting our home runs and started doing things. And there was times that we were super vulnerable too, to getting big, trying to chase power. But it was the guys that hit the ball the other way that kind of kept us in the lineup. And yesterday's game, you kind of saw that early in the game. They got a couple hits early. They went the other way, but then it kind of went back to, you know, chasing the damage. And Cleveland was able to exploit the outside part of the plate, exploit them on breaking balls, and mix it up. And they weren't able to get a bunch of good swings. So I think it's just approach. I think it's a real team thing right now too, because if you have a couple guys that are doing it, and you don't have everybody kind of buying in, or even, you know, the guys that can, you know, do that, you know, that's when it gets a little bit tough. So that for me, that's where the offensive, that's the problems with the offense. Because again, you can go and beat teams that are coming and just throwing gas at you and not locating so well, and they seem to do really well against those teams. But you know, when a guy can control the ball a little bit and hit their spots, I think this is where this team is really struggling right now.
So, Tim, you said starting pitching probably being number one. I think you're not alone with the real concerns that we're feeling, and I'm sure Blue Jays fans are. So what do you make of what is happening to Berríos himself?
It's crazy. I mean, and I looked a lot at it the last couple of days. And, you know, last week we talked about the home and road splits and how crazy that was. And then, you know, then he had a tough game at home. You know, there's funny. There's some things that are bad luck, but there's some things that are just, you know, he's getting hit hard, and I know he's getting hit hard on his fastballs when they're in the zone. You know, you look at the ball Ramirez hit out the other night. You know, a guy took it off the ground basically and hit a home run, and those are the kind of things that are happening to him. I don't know. There's something there, because there's times that it looks just dynamite, and you look at the quality of the pitches, it's good, but when he does leave something in the zone, he gets hit. So I know they're trying desperately to figure it out, but like when you're looking for a number three guy right now, and you kind of hope he'd be pushing number two, but when you're looking for number three, you're trying to find those answers, because anything that's in the zone, and even sometimes when he's a little bit out of the zone, like the stuff's getting hit hard. So I know they're trying hard to figure it out. I don't know if I could. I think I said this last week too. If I could really figure out what to make with it, I'd get peach job. So I don't know, but I do know, like, it's a little bit unnerving when you're going into, you're getting to this point of the season, and the days are getting short, and you need just a little bit more. Like it you have that element of doubt in your head. Like, can this guy go out and just go out and give us seven innings and get us there? And I'm sure that's concerning to him. I know they're working hard to figure that stuff out.
Here's the thing about Pete is right now he'd go, here you go. because it's it's a lot. He's trying to manage Manoah's innings. He's watching Kikuchi pitch every 5 days to no avail. Now he's watching a guy who's basically been the model of consistency his entire career in Jose Berríos find the only consistency in terms of struggles. And then even when Kevin Gausman goes out yesterday and gives them good stuff, the team can't play any defense behind him. He's probably longing for last year when, yeah, the biggest issue was whether Hyunjin Ryu's ERA was going to be, you know, in the 4-5 range, whether you could start him as your sixth guy. It's tough right now. And most of the issues with the team, I think, again, are directly correlated to either injuries or just poor performance from some individuals. But I can't help shake the feeling, too, that the timing of this, right, that the team started to kind of pick up under Schneider. And sure, we can talk about schedule, whatever, the strength of opponent, however you want to spin it. But they're playing these teams, and there feels like there's some real momentum. And then they're sitting there on deadline day, and they're waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for something to happen. And there are reports that Jays players weren't happy watching, like, basically MLB TV all day and Sportsnet all day, waiting for action to happen, and then it not really coming until later in the day. They add a couple of guys, right? They add a bunch of areas of need, but nothing overly splashy, nothing for a group that, coming into the season, Vladdy's calling this, you know, the movie, not the trailer. Big-time expectations on all these guys' shoulders. I'm not trying to purport this as this is the reason why they haven't done well, right? Like, the players haven't performed, but do you believe that it can carry into a clubhouse a quiet deadline, right? Something that doesn't involve a splash with a team that is in a win-now window and had performed just leading up into that deadline?
My take on this is, can it affect the team? Absolutely. I mean, you saw what it did to us in 14, and guys were pretty vocal about it, and we didn't play very well after that. I didn't feel like that was this type of deadline. I absolutely feel like it was kind of like, it wasn't great. I'm sure, like, okay, is that, you know, when it was over, it was like, okay, is that it? I think you made moves that made you a little bit better, but it wasn't splashy. It didn't really light a fire under you, like our 15 deadline, which, you know, that's a lot to ask of anybody. But it's also going to be a deadline where, like, if things don't go well, like, there's going to be a lot of questions that should be asked and are going to be asked. And I think one thing with the players, they hold everybody accountable, and that goes with the front office too, because you want those guys to be good teammates too. And so if, like, this year, and again, windows are really small, they open and close really quick. I mean, it's easy to say, it's scary, and it's also a little bit easy to think, okay, so we're good now, we're in that wild card spot, you know, we're gonna be there, and we're gonna be there probably for the next couple of years. That's a tough approach to take, I think, for me, because a couple of key injuries, something happens, there's no guarantee you're gonna be there every year. So I don't think that's affecting their play right now, because I think they're a good enough team. But I also don't think that the fact it wasn't that great, I that shouldn't, like, back them off the way they're playing right now. But also, when you do make those big splashy deals, a lot of times when you bring, you know, much better guys and, like, really established guys in, like, your team plays better. So, I think it's kind of a little bit both ways. I mean, I think it's pretty admirable that you thought you could get it done with these guys, and the guys should feel good about that. But at the same time, like, did you get a whole lot better, and did you really change the clubhouse that much? And it seems to me, like, especially, you know, right after, you know, Stripling goes down, and then basically you've traded Mitch White for Stripling, and then they kind of cancel each other out. And then Springer gets hurt. So it was absolutely kind of the same team that went in to before the deadline.
Yeah. I think that they could have used a shot in the arm. That's just what I'll always believe is, you're an employee of anything. You get a show of faith from your employers. You're going to feel more motivated. And so I just don't know why, you know, we can talk about professionalism. It's not like anyone wouldn't still go in and do their job. But, yeah, you'd be more excited going into work if, after you had some good performance, your bosses acknowledge it, right? And I just think that applies to baseball the same way that it does apply to life. Tim Leeper, I'm glad we finally got to catch up. It had been too long. It won't be that way now as we enter this. This is going to be one hell of a stretch run with a lot of different teams and jockeying for position somewhere where I really didn't think the Blue Jays were going to be this year. Thanks for making time this morning, buddy.
You're very welcome. And, you know, it is awesome. And Oz to be there August, September in Toronto with the stadium full again. Like, that's really, really great to see.
Oh, it was. Just maybe a few more wins there. That'd be good.
Absolutely. Bye, guys.
Tim Leeper, former Blue Jays first base coach. Yeah, the stadium is packed. That's not the issue. Like, the issue is not who's there. because you were there Friday night.
Yeah,
the place is ready to pop
packed,
off.
Honestly,
yes,
it's
absolutely
good.
Packed. I'm heading down again on Tuesday.
Looney Dogs.
Correct. You know what though? I gotta say,
no,
can I make a confession?
Don't be negative about Looney Dogs.
No. Can
don't
I just
you
make
dare.
A confession? So no confession or not?
Yes, go for it.
Actually, this is yeah. A way to do something to chew on since we're talking about food. So it's time for something to chew on, brought to you by Great Canadian Meats.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah. Looney Dogs. I'm just not... Like, I look forward to when I eat a bag of Great Canadian Meats. I really do. Like, it's something I purchase. I'm having a bit of buyer's remorse ahead of Hot Dog Day. Like... I'm not trying to Joey Chestnut this. Yeah, I am.
Oh.
Did I ever tell you about reading the article of what Joey Chestnut goes through for hot dog eating competitions?
Yes, I know, but you're not going to have 57 hot dogs, Jason.
Yes, but here's the thing. Here's my confession. I don't like hot dogs. I haven't had a hot dog in... I couldn't tell you. Can I be honest with you? I actually don't think I've had a hot dog. I'm not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. This is not for effect. I don't think I've had a hot dog since I was 15 years old.
Well, get ready.
I'm nervous. Why would I eat a hot dog? I'm an adult.
You
I don't have children. But that's
you cannot
the thing.
Go I think, to this game and not eat hot dogs.
I think the only people who have eaten hot dogs between this time, like as adults, are university students who... It's fine. You got to buy hot dogs. You got to grill. You're excited. That's cheaper. Of course, that's a 1A move. Two, you have kids. You're making hot dogs for the kids. And then there's hot dog leftovers, and you're having a hot dog too. I'm neither of those things anymore. Anymore. That made it sound dark. on the second one. But no, I'm not a university student anymore, and I've never been a parent. So it's not an anymore situation. Either way, I'm nervous. I just feel like I'm going to Looney Dog Day. I'm paying, I'm going to the ballpark. Looney Dog Day, that's the day. There's a real pressure to go eat a bunch of hot dogs. I feel like I'm going to eat one and go, that's enough for me. And even that one was too many for me.
Brandon from Tottenham just raised a very important point on the text line.
Okay.
Last week, this guy's an expert on mustard on hot dogs. Now he hasn't eaten one in 20 years. Come on, JD.
Well, I really was thinking more sausages with mustard. But yeah, because again, I'm better than you, Brandon.
Hot dogs.
I know. I did.
And you doubled, tripled, quadrupled down on that.
No, you know what the worst part is, Brandon? Actually, the worst part is not even the fact that, I wasn't even qualified to make that assessment. It's that, here's my guess, is that the hot dog is going to be so not for me that I'm going to have to douse it in literally any sauce that they have, that I'm going to have to put ketchup on it too. I'm going to be eating one with ketchup and going, yeah, this is the only way I can get through this. I don't see any other way around it.
Well, I look forward to you eating. I think you could do four. I would be really happy if you had four. Jason from Markham says, will you attempt 9 in 9? 9 dogs and 9 beers and 9 innings. Okay, Jason, there's no way. He's going to work
I will not be attempting that. Correct. That's not...
Does anybody do that?
Yeah, D-gens, guys who sit in the outfield, and that's their one baseball game a year, and they're, I don't know. You got to be, I think, under 25 to attempt that. That's an under 25 attempt.
That's gross. Okay. Yeah, you've passed that.
Are you going Tuesday? Because it's your favorite day.
No, but I kind of want to now.
Well, it's one of your last shots, I think.
No way. There's lots more.
What?
Tuesday, August 30th.
Okay.
September 13th.
Okay.
I'm just scrolling. September 27th.
Okay. I stand corrected. I thought there would only be like...
There's at least three other options. I will go one more time for the content, okay?
Yeah, you got to see if you can up your game from... What did you have the first time? 6?
No, I didn't have 6. I had 5.
Don't say... How are you so offended?
That makes
I was off by 1.
A huge difference.
Oh, yeah? It makes a huge difference? Okay. I guess you're the expert. I'm not. I haven't had one since... probably like 2000.
Yeah, your body is a temple. Three. Okay, let's take a break.
Thank you.
We're doing a 7:30 edition of the A-List because obviously we had to make sure we got Charles on. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sports. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Morning show, Sports at 590, The Fan, 7:30 A-List. There's probably new people that have yet to listen to the A-List if they don't listen to subscribe, download our podcast for the 6:30 block.
They're trying so hard to avoid it. They're like, we did our best.
You're stuck now. Before we do the
like,
A-List.
Click.
They're like, oh, no, this isn't normal.
Yeah, you're like, you're stuck now. There's nothing you can do. You would think from some people on Twitter, the way that they react to content, that is the case, that they're trapped in a basement somewhere and that the only choice they have is to listen to the shows that they love to criticize the most.
Or to read the tweets or the takes. It's like there's buttons you can do to avoid those things.
There sure are.
We're being very generous this week. Did you know?
I'm generous every week.
No, so this special week. For the first time in over 3 years, WWE is coming to Scotiabank Arena on August 22nd. That's next week on Monday. It's for Monday Night Raw, and we want to send you. All you have to do.
I might go.
Okay.
Sorry. Keep going.
All we have to do is tune into the daily episodes of the Fan Morning Show until this Thursday and text the daily code word to 590-590. Today's code word is Edge. Text Edge to 590-590 for your chance to win tickets to Monday Night Raw on August 22nd. The code
still
word.
Nothing.
Edge.
Edge. One of our favorite
guests. Oh, wow. Edge, it's pouring in right now. Already four edges.
Yeah. Okay. So there's, of course, you better be
the listeners.
Pouring in. It's free tickets.
We have at least four people listening.
Yeah. And Edge. One of our favorite guests, but still one of the funniest things that ever happened on the show was when Blake Murphy got to interview Edge and shook like a leaf because he was so nervous talking
He's
to
like,
the superstar.
Hi. Good morning, Edge.
Yeah. Edge, do you remember when
you
were wrestling? Yeah, so much. It was, did I text Blake Murphy a picture of the water boy with Captain Insano after he spoke to Edge? You better believe it was a high probability that ended up happening. Yeah, have you ever been to wrestling?
No.
I
want to go. Let's go.
So fun.
Hey, there's no Blue Jays game on Monday, August 22nd. It's perfect.
So fun. We should be getting tickets. We should be getting our own. Type Edge into the. Yeah, Edge.
I'm going to text in Edge right now.
Get us the ticks because it's honestly, I'll take a lot of shots at wrestling, all right? I'll take a lot of shots at people who say things like, oh God, what's the term they use for guys who are so good at working? Where they go,
they call them JD.
No, they go, this guy works or something. Like they talk about wrestlers as though it's just so incredible what they do. And then, you know, one of the Paul brothers goes, yeah, I got like one athletic bone in my body and now I'm as good at this as any of you guys. And they go, oh, right. Yeah, it's not that hard. Do I think they put themselves through a toll? Yeah. Relax, wrestling nerds. But yeah, you guys overstate the degree of difficulty on this thing over and over and over again. It's embarrassing.
But I haven't seen it up close and personal, so
live,
it's hard to say.
No, live is as good as it gets. Is as good as it gets from a crowd experience standpoint. Booing heels, rooting for heels, picking a wrestler, cheering so hard for them. The crowd knows all the chants for these people, right? Because it's all diehards that go. And the chants are super easy to get into. And so you learn. It's just great entrance music, great entrances. I got to tell you, out of all the live experiences I've ever been to in sports, wrestling environment is higher on the list than you would think. Like wrestling
really?
On – you get – yes, you get the right wrestling on the right night with the right seats – and you're in for a hot night of entertainment. I've been to some version of like NXT, a house show, Raw. I think I've been three or four times. I've never had a bad time. I've never, ever, 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 ever had even close to not an awesome time. So, yes, I highly recommend it if you've never gone. And, yeah, you can get free tickets here. So it seems like the most win-win. I actually might go. I'm going to look into ticket prices. And it would be nice if work would float me some. Yeah. You know, that would be great.
Hey, since we're giving them away and we're helping, I think you can just sneak us a couple maybe.
Here's the issue. Here's the issue. You know who gets the wrestling tickets?
Blake. This is good.
No.
Yeah, what?
No. Actually, I think he did get some once.
There's
but
no way he's not going.
No, you know who? Oh, he's definitely going. Come on, let's be real here. He's going. He's going to be like, I love you, Edge. He's going to do that. And then he'll come on the show on Tuesday and go, I'm not even really that into it. It's just, I don't really watch every night anymore. It's just, I'm kind of just casually viewing. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, you know everything
that's
going on.
He's going to watch it in person and tape it and go home and watch it from the TV version.
We both know what he's doing, okay? We get it. We get it. We get it. But, no, the work tickets go to people at work who can take their kids. That's because it's for
not the
kids.
Ones we're giving away, though.
Yeah. No, you can win them if you don't have kids or not. No, kids is not a qualifier. This is you're trying to get in trouble.
We respond to
must have children.
647. Do you have children or we cannot give you the tickets?
I thought you were going to read someone's number out loud.
No,
but anyway, I was like in shock. I was like, what are you doing? No, but I actually picture the guy or girl winning tickets and they go, oh my God, I won. And they go, do you have children? They go, no. But it's like, oh, you loser. You don't get them.
I will adopt some for the night.
Yeah, no, you don't get any tickets. But no, the free work tickets that they usually get floated out get given to people that have children. And then those of us with disposable income and no children, they say, if you're going to go to the child's event with no kids, you got to pay. You go, all right, that seems fair.
Is it the same experience if you don't sit within like the first 20 rows? You're good? Because I'm looking at tickets now. I'm like, the first 20 rows are upwards of $800. So.
I'm reluctant to weigh in on this because I don't know where the tickets we are giving away are, but you cannot, in my opinion, it depends on where you are, right? I've seen it at Rico and I've seen it at Scotiabank.
This is at Scotia.
Yeah. Rico, I think you can sit wherever. Scotia, I would recommend spending the little bit of extra cash to get a little bit closer. Just if you're in the 300s, you know, and you're up there, you're very far removed, it's not the same. You don't have to be on the floor, but much like anything, not like anything, because I think hockey, sometimes you could give me a case of, hey, let's
sit. Yeah, you get a better view sometimes from a little bit higher.
Exactly. If someone's like, hey, we're going to sit at the glass in the corner in the 100s, 20 rows up.
You're going to look at what?
Yeah, or we're going to sit 300 middle. I'd go, no question, 300 middle. Wrestling isn't that. There's just the closer you are, it's like a basketball game. The closer you can get, the better. And even in a basketball game, if you're middle court and top high up, you'd rather be down near the action, see how big the players are, see it up close. That's like wrestling for me. All right, time for today's A-List. Let's hit it.
Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, so last week we had the announcer moment when Cameron Maybin said, quote, it's not my words, quote, yeah, I've rubbed up quite a few balls in my life, end quote. With 18 seconds of silence. You remember that. It was very viral. So now in the running for best/worst commentating, it's already early in the season, but we're getting a lot of these thrown in. Bengals broadcast on Friday night. Here is the clip.
You have to like when there's a guy coming right in your face and he just sits in there and delivers it really well.
Wait, one more time, Josh.
You have to like when there's a guy coming right in your face and he just sits in there and delivers it really well.
JD, you're muted, so I can't hear you, but I can see you laughing.
I said that was a little too much. You got to put a warning on the podcast. Hey, this is sports. That's okay. You know, you got to save that for your HR meeting at 5 minutes from now.
This was said on the television, and all I did was play the clip that the Bengals experience.
Again, let's work out your defense. Let's work out your defense now, because you're going to be on trial. And again, I can't even believe you're still on air. I thought that some security guard would have rushed in here and taken
you
out.
They're coming.
I was going to say that they'd be dragging you out of that room.
So you think that's much worse, eh?
Oh, that's Infinity Wars. That's actually one where I would go, yeah, this is probably better off for the internet than it was our show. That took me aback. I went, please no. Yeah, you'll find compilations like this all the time. My favorite still is it used to be account. I think it was actually a Merrick Wyshynski bit. They would do like hockey porn, and mm-hmm. they would just listen in on broadcast. It's a tough position to be in, right? You got hours and hours and hours of things, and you're just trying to know what you're saying. No, come on.
You don't think that he
us like, of all people getting to criticize people for that you go you have to know what you're saying. How many times have you gotten a colloquialism like wrong?
Hey, I've
dead
been pretty
wrong.
Good. All right.
Yeah, because you just avoid them now. You just shut down. You go, I'm just not going to say any of them. Either way, I can never, as an inferior broadcaster to any one of these people that does it on television for a living, it's always a tough position for me to make fun of them for this. Because I wouldn't want the door swung back the other way where they go, oh, let's take a look at, I'm sorry, you were doing 4 hours a day for a long
time? You've never said anything that outrageous.
Oh, I've said much worse.
There's not a chance. Then this clip that you said, yeah. I'm going to get arrested and kicked off the air yeah. from. You think you said something worse and you're still employed.
I didn't say arrested.
Yeah, I just said moon jail.
Fired. Yeah, no, moon jail. No, this isn't a moon jail offense. This is not that. Moon jail is for the world's worst criminals. That's not you. This is just, you lost your employment. That's all.
Okay. Like,
that's,
yikes,
yeah, you're
move
canceled.
On, then.
You're not moon jail. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Okay, so similar in terms of broadcasters. Not as, it's, uh-huh. it's fine. So Carson Wentz was getting an intimate sit down with a 7 News DC reporter named Scott Abraham. And so sometimes we complain that journalists, like, don't ask athletes any hard questions. They throw some layups and softballs. Well, does this clip cross the line? Now, it's 1 minute long, so stay tuned, but it's worth it.
There's been kind of a narrative out there here in training camp that you've been a little inaccurate on your throws. Consistently inconsistent has been a kind of a terminology. How would you assess your performance in training camp, and is that characterization fair?
Yeah, I mean, for one, it's camp. I think I didn't know that, so thank you.
Yep. But I know you told me you don't read that stuff.
At the same time, I'm my biggest critic. So I come back after practice, yeah. and I'm kicking myself over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays,
Real talk here, Carson. It's been well documented. Philly didn't want you. Indy didn't want you. Do you think this is your last chance to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't really think about all that stuff. For me, I'm playing the game that I love, and I have the most confidence of anybody in myself to deliver, to play at a high level, to be a part of something special here with this team. And so I don't put all that pressure on myself. I don't put, people can feel that way. People can say what they want, and I have no issue with that. That is what it is. But for me, I don't think in those terms.
Okay. Philly didn't want you. This team didn't want you.
Okay.
You're looking like trash at camp.
Okay. No. But I think that there's absolutely not even one little smidge of anything wrong with the first
okay.
question.
The first question is accurate.
No,
statements.
He says there's a – in fact, he kind of comes a little weak to the hole with it where he goes, there's a little bit of a narrative, little bit of a – that there's some – what you could – it's fine. Kudos to this guy for actually asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
And why wouldn't you ask that question? Those are the two questions that you would want to ask Carson Wentz. And I love that we're so beaten down – by this, the way that media is going right now, especially sports media, where it's just, hey, if you present anything the way that it actually is to these athletes who are given millions of dollars, and oh boy, if you ask them even a tough question, then the internet's going to fire away at you and just kill you for it, that this is even a question on the show. Is it a little uncomfortable the way he presents it with they didn't want you? Yeah, it's not, I would say, the slickest of approaches that the guy uses. But that if you could meet Carson Wentz and you give him truth serum, we always play the truth serum game, and you could get an actual answer to any question, it would be about his last two stops and not about this one. It wouldn't be about inaccuracies. Carson Wentz isn't a superstar player anymore. We know he's going to throw an inaccurate football. We also know that it's training camp and that these things are going to get blown out of proportion. We talked about this with Charles Davis earlier. This is like the ultimate confirmation bias, or the other one, the other trendy one is optimism bias, or where you, if you are given positive information about your future, you're more likely to believe it than negative, right? So if I tell you, Ailish, you're going to become the number one broadcaster at Sportsnet 2 years from now, you'd go, I could see that. And if I go, Ailish, they're going to fire you for saying the thing that you just did playing that clip. You're going to dismiss me and you're going to go, JD, you don't know what you're talking about, all right? You're just a hater. We apply that to quarterbacks like Carson Wentz, where we go, Carson Wentz, you hear that he stinks? Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen that before, so it's confirmation bias that that report is most accurate. Whereas if you hear Tom Brady is struggling at camp right now, but the Buccaneers feel as though it's just nothing and he'll be totally fine, he's not looking old at all, you go, yeah, of course, Tom Brady, optimism bias. I'm a fan of the Buccaneers. We're moving forward with this. He did not ask anything that's unfair. The presentation was tough, but yeah. I would have wanted to know, what does it say? How do you feel about the way your Colts teammates reacted at the end of last season? Carson Wentz doesn't strike me as the most genuine guy. He's got a little bit of Roger Goodell to him, actually, where it's like a robot when you're talking, whenever you hear him speak. You could hear in his voice that he was a little shaken by those questions mm-hmm. because they were actually hard questions. So was it uncomfortable for that interviewer? Was it uncomfortable for Carson Wentz? Yeah. Guess what? Why are we supposed to be comfortable all the time? Why is it that an athlete is supposed to be comfortable with every single question that gets asked of them? Why would we want that in our sports journalism? Why would you want that as a fan of football, of the Washington Commanders, or of just the football at large? Why would we want it that a direction is, these things are so shocking to us when guys get asked the questions that we actually care about? Not whenever it's like 45 questions about, oh, Carson, you got a new dog this offseason. Tell us about Chuckles. Oh, Chuckles is such a fun dog. He is just going around the room, and everybody likes to pet Chuckles, and we're just getting bonded here at camp because Chuckles is here. Oh, how did you come up with the name Chuckles? Well, that's what everyone does when I throw the football, so I figured that I... Like, what are we doing here?
Okay, so...
What do you want to know? If you're a fan, don't you want to know what the quarterback's actually thinking about the things that he has to overcome? I do. Mm-hmm. So good on this guy for asking the questions, but bad on everybody else that feels like this is too far, first of all, that bad on you by the most, but secondarily, bad on all of us that have let it get to this state in sports media where, again, all it's just softballs or nothing or easy exits for athletes or nothing.
Okay. I love the passion. Commander's president, Jason Wright, says
Cried
this.
About it.
Quote, thankfully, Carson demonstrated grace and class in response to this pompous, unprofessional mess. I recognize you have made a living on childlike childlike, why am I saying that word wrong? You know what I'm trying to say. Provocation.
Again, you just criticize people for not being able to
But it needs
words.
To be called out. Don't expect special access. Good luck building rapport with these guys, and it's not like the guys can't take criticism. Just be a journalist and follow standard practices.
Again, okay.
Not so a happy standard. Dude.
So what's this guy's, what's this little B-word's name?
Jason Wright. He's the president.
Wright. Yeah, Jason Wright. I'd like to know Jason Wright's background.
He is a dude.
Yeah, no, but anyways, All I got to say to Jason Wright is you suck. You absolutely suck. You want to talk about professionalism? You're lauding threats at media members? This is just so in the Commander's wheelhouse of who they are as an organization. Somebody asks your quarterback a tough question and you call him pompous and you basically say that because he's asked those questions, you are going to threaten his career with what his access is and tell him basically that players aren't going to give him any good treatment.
He's
and
a
that
former
going to
NFL player, so maybe
this guy stinks. This guy stinks. This guy is the worst, and he's the worst among. He's a big part of why sports media sucks. Sports media sucks for a lot of reasons. Sports media sucks for a lot of different reasons. This business is getting worse for a lot of different reasons, but that is very, very high, which is that these teams have so much control over what gets said by media members that there's no explicit threat until something gets done. But then this guy's actually, hey, you know what? Actually, maybe credit to him from one standpoint is that he's actually putting that out there for the public to consume rather than just having it be done behind closed doors where this guy's boss gives him a tap on his cubicle and tells him, hey, you got to cut this out and they're pissed at you and this is what's going on. It's not very public. But again, this guy felt like he could state that publicly, because there is a level of comfort within these organizations where they will tell their fan bases, can you believe that this guy asked Carson tough questions? And then trying to pretend like, oh, we can handle the criticism, except for you had one journalist ask him one tough question and the team president issued a statement on it. You guys can take criticism? Seems as though you can't. Seems as though this is a pretty big deal in-house for you guys, that if one little thing happens with one little interview, you put out a statement. And the sad thing is, my guess is, most of the fans that replied to this on social, most of the fans that replied to this were celebrating Washington for doing it. And maybe they didn't, because it's Carson Wentz and it's the Washington Commanders, because again, it's one of the worst organizations in all of sports with one of the least liked quarterbacks in, I don't know, the last two decades. But if it's just about any other player, right? If this happens to Austin Matthews, if they sit down and some guy goes, Austin, you guys have been knocked out of the playoffs every single year in the first round. Do you feel as though you guys are chokers? They put it in something like, I'm trying to make it uncomfortable language where it's not where it's not the most quote-unquote professional, where it's like you could put it better. The nice way, the polite way of putting that is, Austin, do you feel as though there is something mental that's holding you guys back in that first round? But instead, someone puts it chokers. All right, it's a little bit uncomfortable. It's not great. But it's the way fans speak, and the journalist puts it there, that people would have the biggest fill-your-diaper fest on social once the Leafs would issue a statement like the one
I'm
going
to say. I'm looking at the thread right now, and it is quite negative towards him. People saying, oh, you're calling out professionalism. You know,
yeah,
what kind of leader are you? Like, obviously, the Commanders have had some issues, to say the least, so...
That's what I mean. If this isn't the worst run organization in football, if this is like, if this team makes the Jacksonville Jaguars look like the Patriots at times, the way that they run things. And that's not even getting into, you know, the actual true nefarious horrible things that go on behind the scenes with this organization and their owner. But yeah, this is just piss poor. This is piss poor all around, and it's actually upsetting, because, again, I don't give a crap about this, like our show, whatever we do. I will just always care that a sports fan who just wants to know what is going on with their organization has no shot sometimes, because teams want to control their narrative so tightly that they'll be openly threatening a journalist's career for asking a disliked quarterback whether or not he feels there is some kind of pressure on him this season. Outrageous. What's next?
Whew. Okay. Do you believe in curses? I know we talked about ghosts before, but...
Yes.
All right. Well, here's one.
I don't believe in ghosts, but I believe in sports curses. Okay. And jinxes.
A new sports curse that has evolved over the season. So we have the Madden curse, got the Sports Illustrated cover curse, new one. Dairy Queen named four MLB players as spokesmen for their company this baseball season. Bryce Harper.
For you to take a shot at DQ after all they've done.
Tim Anderson, Cody Bellinger, and Tatis Jr. Not a bad crop of guys. You would think that some of them could be MVPs, the face of the league, etc. Everything went wrong. The curse of Dairy Queen.
Did they put the steroids in Tatis Jr.'s
ice cream? Well, the curse of the Dairy Queen is they selected four players this season to market their ice cream and sandwiches. Uh-huh. Bryce Harper, broken thumb. Tim Anderson, broken finger. Cody Bellinger, not a good season. And then Tatis Jr. suspended for using bad substances. I don't know. Four for four.
That's too loose. Toronto Blue Jays curse this offseason. Two of three of the starting pitchers they gave big money to stink. The curse. This has to be a year over year thing for me to give it curse status over one off status.
Four for four.
Yep. Doesn't
random
matter.
Representation from Dairy Queen.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm saying I've made my position clear. You need to have this year over year. If DQ next year gets four more players and all four of them have horrific seasons that are mired in all kinds of different struggles,
I don't know.
Then I'll start to, you know, I'll give a little bit of a, you know? But it's just like, serious. We do too much murder on this show. But I was like, if one person gets murdered in a house, then that's just bad luck. But if now a person gets murdered in the house and then new people move in and then they get murdered in that house, it's like, okay, well, now we're talking haunted house situation here. That's the same rules that apply to this one for me, is you got to have multiple years of curse. I probably could have used Madden as a better example than murder, but you get the drift. You get the idea here. You get the idea.
I think that that's enough to constitute a curse, personally. But I do want to ask you about that. That was
so every bad thing that happens to you is just a
four
curse.
Out of four players.
It's 1 year.
Yeah, but that's 100% of the players that you selected. That's a weird coincidence that makes me think coincidence into curse.
No, it doesn't pass the smell test for me. Not
all right,
even close.
All right. Okay, so that was it for the A-list. But I do want to ask about the whole Tatis situation. So. Obviously, we find out that he's suspended for 80 games because he says that he used this drug called clobestasol to treat ringworm. Whereas I have done some research through the dermatologists online that says standard ringworm treatments can involve steroids, but those are anti-inflammatory, not anabolic steroids. Ringworm is a skin condition treated with ointments and creams, but anabolic steroids are administered through injection. So that's strike number one. Somebody also, a registered dermatologist, says, we do not use clobestasol.
Boy, okay.
I don't work for the drug company.
No, you criticized all these broads. You got to know what you say.
No,
you got to know what you say, she says. You
got to
know what you say. Okay, that's strike three for you. But anyways.
So it's spelled C-L-O-S-T-E-B-O-L.
I don't care. Just keep going.
I'm just telling you the difference. So she goes, we do not use C-L-O-S-T-E-B-O-L. We frequently use C-L-O-B-E-S-T-A-S-O-L. Which are very different, but spelled similarly. So saying that somebody must have screwed up the Googling when they're coming up with this excuse, because they're very similar, but they're completely different drugs. So this is all a terrible situation, and obviously it's fake.
Yeah, here's the thing. Tatis, today on Liars Who Lie, Fernando Tatis Jr., what are you talking about here? Ringworm is just fungus. It's the it's like athlete, whatever, jock itch. That's the same thing.
Good morning.
Well, it is, but it's like, you know what you get for that? There's like a million over-the-counter medications for that. Like, that's tenactin. That's all you get for something like that. You don't go to, I got the pill for my ringworm that was full of steroids. Whoopsies. It's like, no, man. This is an ultimate BS story. I know these guys have to concoct it because they can never actually tell the truth when they're busted. They always have to have some kind of, like, next he's going to have the investigation that's going to look into how exactly his substances were tainted and how this could happen. How could this happen? It happened because you're a cheater and you tried to take a shortcut. You were getting hurt and you wanted to get back on the field and you were told, hey, this is probably going to be able to help you and we're going to be able to circumvent. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of these guys can circumvent detection. This happens in all of professional sports. You think that this is the only guy taking steroids? Like, you can't be that naive, right? Look at even, we talked about a certain sport, wrestling earlier today. They're not allowed to take steroids. Look at the roster, okay? Like, it's not... there's ways to get around certain things, let's just say. He got busted. You got popped. Now you got to do the song and dance, but we all know the truth. You just took them, and it is what it is. It wasn't ringworm. It wasn't your tenactin.
Tenactin.
Let's take a break. Yeah, fast actin, tenactin. You ever seen those commercials?
No.
Yeah, well, you just gave up another ad. Jeff Blair. A media member who does ask the tough questions. You know, made a reputation on it. So there you go. It's not impossible to do. He's next. What the hell is going on with the Blue Jays right now? How worried should we be? What is overstated? What is understated? Could they go to a six-man rotation? That's all next. Jeff Blair, JD and Ailish, Sports F590, The Fan.